back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 184. We're not sitting next to each other. We're not in front of a live audience, but we're doing the show as usual, coming at you on a Tuesday evening for your Wednesday morning delights. We're back to reviewing positions for the 2024 fantasy baseball season, starting pitching part one. We will get to that shortly, starting pitchers 1 through 30. Before you do that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Fantastic. Still riding the high that was first pitch Arizona. It was a hell of a weekend, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was a little exhausting because of our having to travel early schedule stuff. So I'd never really caught up, I don't think, but every bit was worth it. It was absolutely awesome. As we always hype it up big, and it seems to we never hype it up enough when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it was another excellent weekend. We'll talk a little bit about it, but the schedule wasn't ideal this year just because of Halloween, so we missed the first day, and then there weren't any games at Mesa. But like, still, despite that, like, I don't know, the second you start seeing everybody, the beverages start flowing.
They float often in that bar.
I was having breakfast Monday morning.
I saw your pick.
There's no one around, and with Scott, who's in the chat, and the beer distributor chick is at the bar, like taking tallies, and she goes, "What happened?" Because I put this picture out, but one of the things, there were 9 taps and 8 of them were all out.
And that was only Modelo. One half. There was another was 9 on the other half. Side of different
I
beers.
I couldn't get the whole thing going, but. That was like my perfect encapsulation of the weekend. It was, it was just awesome to see everybody, to hang out, to do. I mean, our live show was so much fun. We'll get into a little peek behind the curtain on that disaster before the show started. Yeah. But overall, man, it was great. Spent time with my dad. My 2 uncles were down there.
That was awesome. Yeah,
you got to see that. That in action. I was eating pizza from an attendee, Adam, out there. Yeah, that was cool in the bar. Ran the auction. You did the best ball on Saturday night. I don't know. It was.
I got to do my first panel. You got to run all the whole Saturday morning. It was fun.
I even went to your panel.
I was shocked. It was early. It was 8:30 Sunday morning, and you sat there. Like, you actually stayed the whole time too. I was surprised.
Yeah, I almost got up and left when you started talking about Austin Hayes as the next Jurickson Profar. But
I figured it would have been Tommy Edman. You're like, nope, I'm out. He's bashed him enough. I'm out.
Edman was one of your good calls. Yeah. No, your panel was awesome. Steve Gardner, Peter Kreutzer, and Zimmerman with the hair of the conference.
Yes.
Zimmerman, he was on point. That was a great panel. And yeah, I did the 2
hitting and
player
pitching
spotlight panels on Saturday morning. It's all a blur. And we haven't even talked about golf yet. That was electric. Well,
and like tradition holds, the Saturday morning player profile panels is time for me to start getting my catchers ready. We're close to 60 catchers right now, folks. 60 catchers that I might be breaking down this year. So.
I think I took a picture of you.
You did at some point in time. You did.
But, yeah, it's not going to come in good on the stream. But no. Bubba had his yellow notepad with there are 50 catcher names on that list.
Yeah. It was beautiful. But yeah, it was fun. Golf, electric.
Yeah.
Electric is the one thing I can say. Absolutely electric.
Yeah, we our group, we had before we got off the first tee. We had 2 lost clubs and a club throw. And at least 2 balls in the water, mine and yours.
Oh.
The club throw was neither me nor you. We won't name names on this one, but that was the start of the day. And then you show up, you unveil this high noon costume.
I warned Ryan. I said, I got the greatest golf outfit. And he had no idea until we got to the golf course.
Yeah, Bubba, show you got this. I don't know why I'm all blurry, probably because I showed my phone up. You're wearing this like pullover all morning. It's like kind of warm out. I'm like, what the hell? And then you strip down a layer. I'm like, wow, is beautiful. I took a picture. It's now it's your profile picture.
The neck up is, yes.
Yeah, the neck up.
I wore that hat again today to golf because it's just the perfect hat. And then when the beverage attendee came around today, she didn't ask what I wanted. It was very simple. So it was a beautiful day.
You played golf today too, didn't you?
Yeah. So that's what I just said. Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, some of us just, vacation a little longer these days. It was actually a business lunch, a business golf, which was great.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
But no, it was epic. It was, I don't know. It always is, but anybody who has not come, I'm telling you, I swear, everyone who goes for the first time is like just blown away by it. And we met a lot of new. It was cool to people that listened to the show that I didn't know. Shout out Rich, who came up to us in the main room and said we are his favorite podcast and he listens to us religiously, like just didn't as a first time attendee. So like just stuff like that was really cool to kind of hear from everybody and hear that stuff. So I don't know. Yeah, it was just a perfect weekend.
Yeah, it's those little things that like when we are, doing our stuff, we're tired or whatever, it's, off season, let's take a break, all those kind of things. It's like, okay, never mind, we're good, let's keep going, because there's a lot of that takes place, not just that week and people give us messages, but that week and you get a lot of people that you've never met before, first-time attendees, so it's pretty fun stuff for sure. It was always a blast, but yes, there was some interesting stuff that took place before our podcast that we had to regroup on the spot for this one, because for those that have paid attention to the old Twitterverse there, we started a Patreon. For those that have not seen the video, have seen the tweets, there'll be more tweets because that's just how this works. But we set up a Patreon. You'll still get the two episodes a week for free. That's never going to change. That is a staple for what's going on. But there's other stuff. I'm not going to list them off all the time, but there'll be Bloomboard's access. There'll be all those kind of things. There'll be a lot of my written content as well. But the plan was, we've been joking for a while that we've been working on stuff behind the scenes. And Ryan's camera didn't vote. That's why it's blurry. But we had this all planned. And the grand idea was, we're going to make the page go live shortly before the show, so when we promoted it at the show, we got all these flyers, all kinds of stuff, people can rock and roll. Ryan, would you like to let people know what happens, because it was one for the ages,
dude. Had it all planned out. Yeah, had those flyers, had everything. We go up to your room, we're about to go to the night game, right?
Yep. Yep, Scottsdale. Yeah,
and we're like, oh, let's set the page live, no one's gonna even know. I don't think anybody even knew we were gonna do the Patreon. We kept it pretty hush hush and kind of built it up behind the scenes. We had all this stuff ready, and we go, I'm over your shoulder in your hotel room, and you click what, publish, and it says, congratulations, would you like to share this to various outlets or whatever? And then you click no, and then you click somewhere else, and it just shuts off, and it says your account has been deactivated. And we're like, what in the hell is happening? And then a mad scramble of, is it actually, let's log out, back in, let's call Patreon. No, it's Friday night, so they close at 5. And so we had nothing to go off of for the show. So we had to scrap the whole, I'm guessing the pamphlets that you printed out are still all in.
Still wrapped.
In plastic wrap.
Yeah,
we had to take out the slide for the live show. It was a bummer. The show was still a ton of fun, just because what can you do? You kind of have to laugh about it at this point. But yeah, our grand plan to unveil this Patreon live at first pitch was a plan, and I guess we didn't execute the plan.
Yes, it was not foolproof apparently. But for those that have not seen the tweets, it's patreon.com/BubbaBloom if you're interested. There's already some stuff posted there. Ryan's got his minor league board. You can talk more on that if you'd like, Ryan. And I've got a couple of my I added some extra players to some of our positional reviews. I'll have that for every position. And then we'll have some other stuff coming up down the line. And eventually we'll have rankings and more for you guys in the offseason to get you ready for the regular season.
Yep. Bonus episodes and all that stuff. I mean, really, it's just a way for you all to if you listen to the show and you have the means to support the show, we'd greatly appreciate it. I what we really want to try and build out is the Discord community, and kind of, have build a little Bubba in the Bloom kind of community on there. and just talk and either baseball, not baseball, whatever. That's really the crux of it, the heart and soul of it. But obviously, you know, since you know, if you're supporting the show, we want to make it worth your while, and we're going to do a bunch of extra stuff for you. So all of, you know, a bunch of my tools, like you said, I have a minor league board already out there, a tutorial for you. You've got catcher, first base, review write-ups. So trying to give you all a little bit extra, but yeah, we'd certainly appreciate your support and keeping going with the show. We made some early plans for March of 2025 while we were out at First Pitch Arizona. So just stuff like that helps us kind of grow the show and build this to something that, you know, is even bigger. I mean, in the grand scale, that's what we want to do with this thing. So again, if you're interested in the Patreon, we certainly would appreciate it. And again, make it worth your while with the stuff we're giving you.
Michael C asks, will there be a Metallica channel? We can arrange something. Definitely can. I also want to mention to those that have actually reached out to us and are glad we did it because they're not on Twitter anymore. We do have an email. If you are interested in contacting the show, if you have listener questions, just questions in general, BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. So check that out if you have any questions. And we're not going to spam you guys at the start of every show. We just got to, for a little while, we got to kind of push things. But you guys support us, we'll disappear with all that spamming stuff. And life goes on, but it's also November 5th. And what else do you have to do tonight? So we're going to talk about that. But it's fun. It's another chapter. This is we've done, 3 full years now, Ryan?
I think. Yeah.
3 full years. First full year, 2 episodes. We have a bunch of ideas, but we don't want to do them all at once. We want to continually grow the show properly. So this
year, year one was the show. Year one was just us not killing each other for the first year. And year two was twice. we survived. Year two was twice a week. Year three is Patreon. Who knows what year four will be?
Who knows?
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, just want to throw that out to you guys. Again, we won't spam you guys continuously every time, but we will mention it. Support us. We will always give back to you, as people know. And people in Arizona found out you will get stuff if you support the show. Just kind of how things work. And I think that's about it. I think people have heard it enough, unless you have anything else, Ryan.
Those shirts. Shirts were great. T-shirts given out at the
live show. The last thing I'll say is, and for those that weren't there and have the live show on their podcast, it's not the best listening.
I
will throw this out there. There is one mic in the room for the crowd. Problem was, and it's a good problem to have, honestly, I was actually like, who cares at this point? It was packed. Like, Ryan took a picture at the beginning. I told him, like, we should remember to take one at the end. It was packed in that room. And people were just wanting to talk throughout. There was zero chance we'd get them to a mic and whatnot. It was impossible to do. So it was perfect if you're in person. I apologize if it's not the best outside. That's just kind of one of the things of a live show at FPAS.
Yep. Agreed. Yep.
All right. With that being said, let's head to the mound. We've got the bats taken care of. Let's talk 2024 starting pitcher review. And if you're Uncle Ted, you have named a bunch that we'll talk about next week, but or on Thursday. But Ryan, before we get started here, why don't you let us know what we're looking at besides Rare Steak Red to start out?
Yeah, Uncle Ted. Yeah, you're a couple episodes away, man. Some of these names you're throwing out here. Jeff Erickson
says hi, buddy.
Yes. We discussed you a little bit, Uncle Ted. We all appreciate your activeness in the chats of all of our podcasts. So keep it coming. All right. So this is the top 30 starting pitchers. Again, similar to hitters, this is preseason ADP. So Spencer Strider's at the top, and that's where you get that Bubba Red Rare Steak Red of a 70 RA, 167 WHIP, and 12 strikeouts. Just so brutal to see that at the top of the board. But similar type deal as our hitter positions, right? It's ordered by preseason ADP. We've got the 2024 end of season rank per the Fangraphs player rater. And then we've got ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts as our kind of stats. So we'll call out some guys who are up here because of wins, but those are kind of the three main stats that we're looking at. Color coded amongst the top 90, since I guess in the next couple of shows we'll do like 30, 60, 60, 90, something like that. So that's generally what we're looking at the board here.
All righty, let's start off with the Rare Steak Red, and this is one that we did on the fly earlier because it was not great, Bob. Spencer Strider, he was the ADP number 2 in main events, the second pick taken in drafts. And we just put, Ryan just put, we kind of agreed to put 437 because there was 436 players ranked. Strider wasn't even on the Fangraphs player rater. He threw 9 innings, 7 ERA, 167 with 12 Ks and a brace surgery. So Ryan, what do you have here as they actually announced on Tuesday that Strider won't be ready for opening day?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really to take away here other than, like, if you drafted Strider, it was certainly an uphill battle to even cash in some leagues. But people did. I did in my biggest money league. I was able to cash with drafting Spencer Strider first. I believe, want to say it was Greg Martin in the main event.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Who finished like in the top five while drafting Strider. It's what's great about this game is the first round. There's this phrase like you can't win this in this first round, but you can lose it. I don't even know if that's true because you can still overcome a Spencer Strider as tough of a gut punch as it is. You can still do it. It's not easy, but you can still do it. That's kind of my big takeaway. We'll talk about the 2025 outlook, but like that doesn't look good to me either, given what we heard at first pitch as well. But just a freaking, not to bring that other sport into this, but I have one fantasy football league that I'm in, and I took Christian McCaffrey because I had the first pick, and then I had Strider in my biggest league. So, like, I don't know. I'm done with the first round. Give me, like, 3 second round picks.
Yeah, if only that was possible. But yeah, big bummer on Strider. I know we're not talking 2025, but I do want to have some fun. There has been 10 OCs completed. Strider still has an ADP of 87.5. So people are in on Spencer Strider, which is fun to see. All right, second starting pitcher off the board had an ADP of 17. So we had one pitcher at basically the beginning of the draft, nothing else in the first round, which is actually insanely rare for main events. Like those come March, main events usually have 2, 3, sometimes 4 starting pitchers in the first round. Like it gets elevated quickly. We did see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 taken in the second round. Business picked up, but only one in the first round. First pick in the second round, second pitcher off the board, ADP of 17, Corbin Burnes finished 9th at the position, which is honestly pretty impressive considering how many people, including myself, think he wasn't great.
Yep.
And I think it's either talking about probably the lack of quality pitching, especially early in drafts, as Scott Burks mentioned in the chat here, only 5 pitchers in the top 10 rankings in the top 30 overall. That's pretty telling right there. But Corbin Burnes, 9th, 2.92 ERA, 1.10 whip, 181 Ks and 194 innings. I'll give my thoughts after I let you have the floor on this one.
It's interesting to see Corbin Burnes finished as a top 10 pitcher when everyone drags him through the mud. I shouldn't say everyone, but it sounded like Corbin Burnes didn't have the best year. And you take this, right? If you draft Corbin Burnes, if you draft the number 2 starting pitcher and say before at the beginning of the season, you say you're going to get a top 10 value in return, you take that every time, even though he didn't finish number 2. This was a good pick. And it kind of all goes against what we've heard about Corbin Burnes for the last few years, right? That said, I'm still going to continue to kind of bag the guy. Strikeout rate went down even more. So this is the problem with Corbin Burnes is the strikeouts really weren't out there. The volume was, which is why he had 181 strikeouts and the ratios were excellent yet again. But that falling strikeout rate is at some point, that's going to be a problem. It's gone from the last 4 years, it's gone from 36 to 31 to 26 down to 23 in 2024. So I think that narrative around Burnes is like a declining pitcher and landing spot will be big with him. I think that's going to continue all offseason because even though he did finish very strongly, the metrics continue to head southwards.
Yeah, you nailed it there. It's the metrics. It's like the reason he ranks so highly is, again, maybe the starting pitching as a whole, but it's just the accumulation factor, 194 innings, 32 starts, 15 wins. Those are things that the player rater takes very, very close to heart. Because when you mentioned it, when I think early pick, I'm thinking strikeouts ratios. Well, the ratios are good. Not going to knock that at all. But we're talking strikeouts. Like you mentioned, the 181 Ks, 194 innings, 17% K to walk for the second straight year after being 24% in 2022. Like that's a big drop that did not bounce back, as you mentioned. And in reality, it was an even lower K rate because the walks came down. So the K to walks, great. That's what we love. But in reality, the strikeouts still kept falling, as you mentioned. So it's just a few things like that. Yes, landing spot will be important. I joked that he quote tweeted the Dodgers World Series thing with like the eye emojis or whatever. And so that's fun. I've heard him linked to some other LA or, you know, California situations. I don't know. We'll see. But I still can't stomach the early pick with Corbin Burnes at that point. I think I had one share in an OC because I had the first overall pick and he was available on the 2-3 turn. So I was like, okay, I took him and Luis Castillo as a 3-4 turn or something. A weird draft. And so that worked, but I wasn't forcing Corbin Burnes by any means.
It's that old. It's the old Sandy. To kind of make the case for him, it's the Sandy Alcantara. You fade him because he has a low strikeout rate, but the last three seasons for Burnes, 200 innings, 193, yeah. 194. Like,
he's a workhorse.
At some point, that's going to break, just like Sandy did. I mean, these guys are pitchers, but the volume is huge.
Yeah, real quick, Michael C. says, to be fair, on a rate basis, many of these guys were top 20 while pitching, but injuries cap total out. Yep. But Yamamoto, Snell, Ryan, if you fade all top pitchers, you're not getting glass down numbers. That is correct. Yep. One stat we heard, I believe it was in the Sleeper and the Bus live show, maybe it was a different one, 70% of starting pitchers had an injury this season. 70%. So good luck is the best way.
I think of the top whatever drafted pitcher, something like that. But it was a pretty shocking number. I think normally it's like 55-60%. Okay. So
70% brought back flashbacks. Yeah. All right, third pitcher off the board here, one Zach Wheeler. He also had an ADP of 17 with Corbin Burnes. Finished second at the position though, and this was a big boy stuff here. 2.57 ERA. As you have mentioned here, a 0.96 whip and a 2.24 strikeouts. That is amazing. The strikeouts are there. And this is why I always had, and you as well, Wheeler over guys like Corbin Burnes, because Zach Wheeler just continues to dominate on the mound. And maybe it'll come to an end one day. Hopefully not anytime soon, but he is getting old. I will give him that. But just a consistent stud. And I love everything about him.
Yeah, getting old, but like, nothing. I mean, 32 starts in three of the last four seasons for Zach Wheeler. Like, you want to tell, we were talking about Burnes with volume. Like, the Zach Wheeler volume is incredible. Plus, you get the elite strikeout rate. Like, to get, have almost a 30% K rate. That's why Zach Wheeler is the number two pitcher, right? 224 Ks is just crazy. So, great year for Zach Wheeler. 16 wins, right? One half of his starts with Philly. That's huge. It makes total sense that Zach Wheeler is a top three pitcher in 2025. And maybe it's a hot take, whatever. If you're drafting for floor and non-injury, maybe it feels weird because Wheeler's going to be 35 years old. But compared to Skeens and Scooble with that crazy velocity that they have,
yep.
I can see the case for Wheeler over both those guys.
So. I know I took him. I was very happy to take him in round two of the meatball draft. So we'll see. And if anybody's looking to draft to DC, I'm waiting for a few more participants to start my first round of the season.
Did you already sign up?
Yeah, about an hour before the show, I locked into one. So bought a three pack. So we got started there.
You got a three pack.
Well, I get the discount when you get the three pack. So we went that direction. Because let's be real, am I not going to do at least three DCs?
Yeah, I'm going to get the three pack. Yeah, so. Before, just, I do need to do it before the end of the year, tax time.
Yeah, bingo. So, we're in one, just waiting for that lobby to fill. So come on down if you're interested. Bubba's in a draft, and he can come take my money. All right, the fourth starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 22 on the season, finished 41st at the position. That is one Luis Castillo, 3.64 ERA, 1.17 whip, 175 Ks. That all seems decent. That's not bad. And 175 and 30 innings pitched. It was just kind of a lackluster year. Ratio is up over the last couple of years. K to walk dropped to a lowest since 2021. It wasn't a bust of a season by any means, but it just felt like he never had that consistent run of Luis Castillo ace type stuff.
Yeah, just like mediocre ratios for mediocre for a top five pitcher, yes. Right? Like, you don't want to see White on this top five list because that means those ratios were average. So the 3.64 and 1.17, that's pretty much dead average for the top 90 drafted starting pitchers. So that's not great. And then you have the added factor of the Seattle Mariners, right? The punchless Seattle Mariners. Luis Castillo only had 11 wins, so that also sets him back when you compare him to like a Zach Wheeler at 16. Those five wins, that's a big deal. So, you know, not a bad season for Luis Castillo, but when you tack it on with like the, I say only 175 innings pitched, did miss a couple starts with the hamstring late in the season. Just, you know, all those factors kind of took him down to 41. So not a pick a pick you'd like to have back. Not a disaster though.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Not a disaster by any means, but yeah, when you're navigating the minefields of, you know, Wheeler, Castillo, or talk Kirby, Pablo, like it does add up after a little while. George Kirby, he mentioned back-to-back Mariners picks here, was the fifth starting pitcher off the board, an ADP of 24 on the season. 3.53 ERA, a little better than Castillo. 107 whip. We love the whip master. 179 Ks, but Ryan, this is the kind of argument I had with you in the preseason. 179 Ks is fine, but it's 191 innings pitched. It's kind of Burns-esque in this regard. Better K to walk, but he's had a consistent K to walk for three straight years. Whip's been pretty solid the last years and consistent innings the last 2 years. So
yeah, man,
maybe this is who George Kirby is. Everyone says there's another level. Maybe there is. He's not really showing it. He's showing this is kind of who he is.
I think, and I think Kirby's kind of the poster boy for that unheralded category called whip. 104 and 107 the last two seasons. And to get 190 innings of that 2 years in a row, it's a big reason why George Kirby finished as a top 20 pitcher. I was disappointed. I thought we'd see a step up in the strikeout rate. Technically, it went up a point, but it was still league average at 23%. I remember the reason that I was in on Kirby before the season was he added that split finger in the middle of 2023, and the K rate kind of spiked up towards the end of 23. I thought that could continue on this year, and it didn't. So to kind of what you were saying, this is kind of the same George Kirby that we saw previously, which again, if you draft the fifth pitcher off the board and he finishes top 20, you take it. But I think people who drafted Kirby, because the helium was kind of crazy on him, were expecting more strikeouts.
Yeah, as you say, a 0.1 jump in strikeouts, to me, too close to call. All right, the sixth starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 25, yours truly, Ryan's truly, I should say, Pablo Lopez.
Finished 30. I did not draft you.
No, no. Finished 38th at the position, 4.08 ERA, 1.19 whip, but 198 strikeouts, 185 and a third innings pitched. And I think we've heard it mentioned a lot. I'm going to let Ryan mention it again. Once it clicked, a little before the second half of the year, it was domination from Pablo Lopez that got the numbers down to where they are, because it was pretty ugly for a while there. But overall, really, really strong finish, which makes people really, really excited for the upcoming season.
Yeah, it kind of does. But I mean, as we talked about on the live show, Lopez is one of the biggest ADP fallers from,
it's true,
yeah, you know, in early 2025 drafts. He was what, like number four or five in terms of the early pitcher faller. So a little bit of a discount on Pablo, at least early on. I think everyone who consistently listens to this show knows my stance on Pablo Lopez. The first half was just absolutely brutal. Kept saying, stay the course, stay the course. And yeah, that second half was awesome. Although anyone who had Pablo Lopez in like playoffs, we saw bad Pablo Lopez again. His second to last start of the season, which I think is like if you're in playoffs or head to head, like your championship, had a 7-earned run outing at Boston. That outing took Pablo Lopez's ERA above 4. I was rooting him for him to finish with a sub 4 ERA just because it was so bad in the first half. But yeah, right at the ship in the second half. That's kind of what we thought, that I thought Pablo Lopez could be. And another season of a lot of innings removed from those early career shoulder injuries. I think we've got three pretty full seasons of Pablo Lopez now. So for as much as we can trust starting pitcher health, I mean, Pablo's pretty much in the clear.
Yep, looking good until next time. Because like you said, until we can...
They will all break.
Yep. But yeah, for now, I agree. We because that was, like you said, the big bugaboo when he left Miami. It's like, we can't trust him. And I think we can now, with you on that one. All right, seventh starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 26. Tyler Glasnow finished 20th at the position while missing the last couple months of the season. Career high 134 innings pitched. Still didn't win the bet on that one, unfortunately. 3.49 ERA, 0.95 whip, 168 Ks, just 168 Ks. Let me refresh your mind. 134 innings pitched again, like I mentioned. Dude was ridiculous. Went on the mound, 25.5% K to walk. Like, I love everything about Tyler Glasnow. I will have zero shares of Tyler Glasnow coming up, but that's another show for another day.
A lot more worried about Glasnow next year than I was entering the season. But even like when Glasnow pitched, it's still, so yes, look, was great. Had a 3.49 ERA. Like, that's not that great, but just kind of got a little on, because I mean, the whip's under one. Whip's usually a pretty good indicator for leading indicator for ERA. So Glasnow just kind of had a couple bad starts that inflated that ERA. But no, that was nice of him. That beer bet, that must have been my, you know, second or third beer at the bar that first night, which was the Tyler Glasnow beer. No, we did not like label our beers in the high noons.
We just took turns buying each other drinks because we basically split that. What do you want?
I actually have no idea. Like, yes, I won 6-4, but we just bought each other stuff all weekend. So who knows?
It's worked out. whose turn was it to go to the bar?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who's closer or who's not in a conversation with somebody, then
pretty much
then you get to. But no, another one where I think if you take Glasnow 33rd overall, or like I got him in the fourth round in some of my earlier drafts, and he finishes top 20 in a partial season. Yes, a lot depends on what you did with that, you know, that part that Glasnow was not pitching. But again, I still think that's, I don't want to say a win, but it's, for as polarizing as Glasnow was, he kind of just did okay. And it wasn't a terrible pick when you took him. You got some good value out of him.
Yep, got some good value, and hopefully the replacement wasn't too bad, because when he went down, there was definitely some streamable options down the stretch there. If you did it right, if you didn't go Albert Suarez, went
Albert Suarez.
Yeah, yeah, I beat you to it. Beat you to it. All right, 8 starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 33, the best pitcher in fantasy baseball and maybe Major League Baseball in 2024. Is it Tariq or Tarek? I always screw it up. Scooble. I think it's Tariq, right?
They say Tariq on the home broadcast.
Yeah, that's what I always say. And for some reason, right before, I'm like, I feel like I might be wrong, but I'm going to go Tariq Scooble. That's what I always do. 2.39 ERA, 0.92 whip, 228 strikeouts, and 192 innings pitched. Pretty much on any pitching bloom board we did all season that talked basically dominance in one way or another, Tariq Scooble is nothing but amazing. Nothing but amazing. And if you like him, you're going to have to pay. But what's your thoughts on Scooble? Because I know I'm pretty sure I didn't have any shares of Tariq Scooble.
Pretty much identical skills from that like epic end of season 2023 run, which is what the quote unquote helium was on Scooble. Two things happened with Scooble. He was able to be this good over an entire season, of course, right? Jumping from 80 innings up to 192. It's a big jump. And Scooble's skills from first half to second half did not skip a beat. I mean, the dude had four September starts, 28% K minus walk. It's got to be one of the best ones in the majors, and was obviously a big part of that Detroit run into the postseason. So, I mean, the other kind of, I don't know, debate with Scooble was like this thing about the schedule and how he pitched against soft competition in the AL Central in 2023, but that dude is so damn good that I don't think it matters who he faces. Excellent year from Scooble. Congratulations if you took him at 34, because you positioned yourself quite well in pitching categories with that.
Yep, not much else to add there. Just absolute hoss, just dominance. And my biggest thing was I didn't know if the innings bump was going to benefit him at all, and did not matter. So now my next question is the big jump going to affect him for the next season? Probably not going to matter, but that's always a concern of mine as well. So to be determined on that one. Your ninth starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 34, Kevin Gausman, finished 50th on the year. Like, ratio-wise, for ninth pitcher, not great, but 3.83, 1.22, didn't crush you. Didn't crush you at all. Like, that's not what it was. To me, it was the strikeouts. 162 Ks on the year for Gausman. Like, we talked about him way too often on this show because I picked him everywhere. Plus, he came up on a lot of bloom boards, but 181 innings pitched, so the K's dropped like massively. 14% K to nine after basically being 23% for four plus seasons. So that was the big kicker, because he still got the 14 wins. You know, the innings, like I said, 181 is not bad. It's just the ratios were a little higher than usual, and the Ks just weren't there for Gausman, and he didn't have the splitter at all. We've talked about it here. It's talked about a ton in Arizona that he was a very popular name discussed, and it's one of those, if he can regain the splitter, awesome. Easier said than done, probably. But what's your thoughts on Kevin Gausman?
I don't think he can, because it plays so much off the fastball, and the fastball is really what kind of did Gausman, and lost a full tick on it this season, had shoulder problems. So once you see like the velocity go down on the fastball, you start to get very nervous. Kevin Gausman had to have one of the biggest drops in just pure strikeout rate of any pitcher, down to 21% in 2024, down from 31%. So a full 10-point drop in strikeout rate, down from, you know, elite to below average. Same thing with anytime I see a big change in strikeout rate, I always look right at swinging strike. Did that change as well? And sure enough, the swinging strike has gone from 15% down to 13% last year, still above average, down to 10.5% in 2024. So just a lot of stuff that does not look good for Kevin Gausman. I would argue was even kind of lucky to have a 3.83 ERA, 1.22 WHIP, because that's the fair. Skills are a lot worse and trending the wrong way.
No, that's fair. It's trending. Yeah, it's a scary predicament for Gausman, just for giggles. Gossman's 133 ADP right now, so not cheap, but you still got to pay for him if you want him. SP3 territory if you're interested in Kevin, which we kind of said he was by the end of last season, SP3, SP4. So depends on what you're looking for, but the skills, like Ryan said, the velocity is still concerning going forward. 10th pitcher off the board, ADP of 40, Frederick Peralta. Big fan of his on this show. We both are, that is for sure. But Freddie finished 42nd at the position, 3.68 ERA, 1.21 WHIP, 200 strikeouts, and 173 innings pitched. The 11 wins didn't help his player rater situation. You know, a little bit higher ERA is never ideal, of course, and the WHIP at the 1.21 was his worst since 2019. So it's been a while since we've seen Freddie have ratio issues like that, but the strikeouts were still good, but it was a step back season for Freddie Peralta. So what's your thoughts, Mr. Bloomfield?
He was fine. I mean, the 200 Ks is huge. That's massive. Even a 1.21 WHIP, like that's not bad. So the big thing for me with Freddie is just being able to sustain that volume for 2 years in a row, because I believe it's been shoulder injuries for Freddie in the past that have kind of knocked down his innings total. But the last two seasons ago, 165, 173, I think that bodes well a little bit for next year. 11 wins, right, for Freddie, also just kind of marginal. So I don't know if there's another step here for Freddie Peralta. The strikeouts are awesome, but there are, you know, some other issues there that, you know, specifically like a 9% walk rate, that's not gonna do the WHIP any favors. So a good year for Freddie. I think he's kind of settling in as like a okay SP2 for me.
Yep, that's fair. Very, very fair. The 11th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 42, Zach Gallen, finished 48th at the position, 3.65 ERA, 1.26 WHIP, 156 strikeouts, and 148 innings pitched. When he was on the bump, not bad. Gallen looked good, but walk rate went up quite a bit to kind of affect things. And he always had some weird injuries, like hamstring, or he thought he did this or that, but it was like a minor thing that pulled him out of the game. Then he came back like a start later or something. So up and down year for Zach Gallen as a whole. Again, similar to Freddie, ratios are fine, but the strikeouts weren't there. The volume of innings weren't there. Walks went up. So what's your thoughts on Zach Gallen?
Just feel like he's been used a lot over the past couple of seasons, especially last year, right? With the run that the Diamondbacks went on, you can kind of see that starting to take effect on Gallen. However, what I will say in September, really since this is absolutely cherry picking some stats, but strikeouts were elite late in the season. His last seven starts, 9 Ks, 7, 8, 7, 7, 5, 11. like not a bad finish for Zach Gallen. So that's something that I always kind of look at. How do these guys finish, and do they finish strong? And Zach Gallen with a 35% strikeout rate in September is pretty damn good. So I don't know. Solid season for Gallen. The biggest thing, right, was didn't get the volume. Right, 210 innings in 2023. I don't think anyone was expecting that again, especially with the postseason. But Tony go 148 with mediocre ratios. It's like, yeah, I don't know. This is a pocket of just like a lot of meh starting pitchers.
It is. A lot of kind of SP2s that let us down situations. Yeah. And that goes to our 12th starting pitcher off the board, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. ADP of 44, finished 54th at the position, had great ratios, 3 ERA, 111 whip, 105 Ks and 90 innings pitched. Like, when Yamamoto was on the bump, he was awesome. But he got that injury, kept him out for quite a while, worked his innings back up in September before the postseason. So I think it was great to see what he did, especially in October, but a lost season overall when it comes to fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, because how many teams cut Yamamoto early on and didn't get the fruits of their pick in the second half. But I don't know. I thought he came as advertised. And like you said, at least came back late in the season, the postseason, and looked pretty healthy, even though the actual like innings per start probably weren't there. That's something I worry about for him with next year, is like what do the kid gloves look like on Yamamoto next year? Because the Dodgers will certainly, even though they did win the World Series, I think they're going to look internally and be like, what are we doing to destroy all of our starting pitchers?
But, yep. No, I agree. There's definitely a window. Do they let him go like 150? Do they push him past that? I think he goes at least 150. I don't see how they, but are they just let him run? Basically, that's the big question when all things are said and done, for sure. All right, now it gets fun. The 13th pitcher off the board, ADP of 45, finished 47th at the position. Logan Webb, 3.47 ERA, 1.23 WHIP, 172 strikeouts for Webb. Another one of those seasons, 204 innings pitched, back-to-back seasons with over 200 innings pitched, which is great. 13 wins, second most of his career. That's not bad either. But, you know, you look at ratios down to 14.5% K to walk. Basically what he did in 2022, and if you remember, that was our first year doing the show, and we had this discussion, and I flat out said, Logan Webb is a pitcher. He'll do what's necessary to get outs. This past year, it was a lot of ground balls. Eric Samolski did a great pitch mix change situation, talking about what he was doing, completely different than the year before when he got strikeouts. So it's just kind of who he is. I've said it enough on this show, so I'll kind of drop it there. He was good in real life. Let some people down in fantasy because of the strikeouts. But what are your thoughts on Logan Webb?
Just because of the strikeouts and a little bit of a higher BABIP than normal, right? That's why we had the 1.23 WHIP and just like a slight increase in ERA. But you're totally right. This is who he is. I mean, this is a guy who's going to get ground balls. He's not going to walk guys, but he's also not going to strike out guys. I do worry a little bit. Like, so here's the 4-year trend on Webb's whiff rate on his swinging strike. It's 12. Then 10.5, then 9, now 8.5. Like, start getting down to like 8.5, it's like, this is like where Miles Michaelis lives.
Not nice.
You don't want to live where Miles Michaelis lives. I don't know where Miles Michaelis lives, but I just did Michaelis. Well, presumably.
Kidding.
I just did Michaelis's forecaster box, so that's why he's there. But Pat in the chat, points leagues with quality starts. Yes, anything with quality starts. I mean, like outside of Framber Valdez, this dude is underdog. A monster.
He was awesome and underdog.
Yep. So again, kind of league dependent. If your league prioritizes strikeouts, maybe not so much, but volume and QS, like that's a great point.
Yep. Very well said. All right. Our 14th pitcher off the board, ADP of 49, finished 11th at the position. We're back to getting closer to the top 10 here. You just mentioned his name, Framber Valdez, 2.91 ERA. 111 WHIP, 169 strikeouts. It appeared at one point in the season you're starting to like let people down, and he just completely dominated yet again. 176 innings pitched, a little less than the previous 2 years, but can't be perfect. He made 3 fewer starts. Just really good stuff. 15 wins, second most of his career for Framber Valdez. And like you look at the K to walks, you look at the walks, you look at pretty much all of it, the whips. It's in line with the dominance we've seen for a 3-year period. This is who Framber Valdez is, folks.
Yeah, but he also like reinvented himself in the second half, right? Okay. So he was on that.
That's
that
true. There was a pitch mix change. That's right.
There was a big time shift in Framber Valdez's arsenal from first half to second half this season. A ton more curveballs and more changeups in the second half for Framber Valdez. And what we saw with that change was a jump in K rate from 19, which is below average, up to 27%, with a corresponding big jump in swinging strike. And best of all, did not sacrifice ground balls to do it. So he was still getting all these whiffs, still getting all these strikeouts in the second half while maintaining a 61% ground ball rate. Like, this second half Framber Valdez for me is a top five pitcher. If he can sustain that strikeout rate with as many ground balls as he gets and the volume, and again, to Pat's point about like quality starts and things like that on a good team, this was a really good year for Framber Valdez when halfway through the season it was kind of looking a little bit shaky.
Yep. I can definitely agree with that. 15th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 50. Aaron Nola finished 29th at the position, 3.57 ERA, 1-2 whip, 197 Ks. So once again, strikeout machine, 199 innings. He's done 180 or more in every year since 2017, since 2020. So that is called a workhorse, folks. But yeah, another really good season for Aaron Nola. I know people think, you know, some of the skills are slowing down. Like, the whip was not ideal. I get it. But the dude's, you know, the ADP is still not expensive. He's an SP2 on a lot of teams, and I would take that all day long, honestly.
Yeah, I'm probably going back in on Aaron Nola, even though I mistime him every single year. It's kind of that famous even year, odd year thing with him, which I don't think is a thing. It's just, you know, whatever. That's variance. That's life. But yeah, excellent season for Aaron Nola. A ton of volume. The 197 Ks is great. Even the whip, 120, like that's workable. And then you get 14 wins. For the Phils, feel like everyone is done and tired of Aaron Nola because they burned him before, and he did quite all right this year.
Most definitely. Know who else did quite all right? Max Fried. He was the 16th pitcher off the board, ADP of 53, finished 30th of the position. This surprises me seeing the numbers: 3.25 ERA, 1.16 WHIP, 166 Ks, and 174 innings pitched. Like, honestly, at that ADP, I don't know how he's ranked 30th at the position, but I'll take this all day. This is a guy I always pound the drum on. He continually puts up good starts. His last start to get the Braves basically into the postseason was amazing. I think Fried's a stud. He's going to be a free agent this year, probably going to be in L.A. Hopefully SF, but could be in L.A. And I think he's much better than the 30th pitcher off the board. The wins couldn't have helped his ranking, I'll tell you that much.
What do you get? He had 11 wins. Yeah. You sound so resigned when you said L.A. It could be Anaheim, man.
No. He'll go back to Atlanta before that. He wants to win. He's not foolish.
Yeah. The big thing for me with Max Fried was 174 innings.
Yep.
I was very concerned about the injuries and the forearm entering the season for Fried, and I was proven wrong on that. I think his first start was like death. His first two starts were death.
Yeah, he started out real bad.
His first start of the season, he didn't make it through the first inning at 43 pitches, gave up 3 earned. Second start of the season, gave up 7 earned. So this guy was like chasing his ERA all season. But Max Fried was very good at that. Kind of like the Framber Valdez blueprint, honestly.
Keep the ball down. He's a fly ball guy, but yeah.
Yeah, the last 59% ground ball last year.
So it shifted. So that's good.
So it is that Valdez blueprint. Keep it down and not a ton of strikeouts, but the thing that you do need is the volume, and it was there for Fried. So I still like have that forearm injury thing in my back of my head. Maybe I'll ditch that this offseason, but no, awesome year for Max Fried.
Keep that in the back of your head next episode when we talk Brian Wu. The 17th pitcher off the board, ADP of 54, was Logan Gilbert. Here we are back in the top five, folks. Logan Gilbert, the fifth overall pitcher on the Fangraphs Player Rater, 3.23 ERA, 0.89 WHIP.
Yeah.
How about that, George Kirby? 220 strikeouts and 208 innings pitched. Like, honestly, this might be the best we'll ever see from Logan Gilbert in a season, but regardless, amazing stuff from the 27-year-old arm out of Seattle. Some big boy stuff.
And did it with only 9 wins. Like, imagine if Seattle was any good.
Imagine
to finish the number five starting pitcher with only 9 wins is like, that's pretty hard to do. I mean, wins is like a quarter of your production. Yeah, just awesome, awesome year for Logan Gilbert. Will not repeat a 0.89 whip or whatever. What was the BABIP? 282, so very low. Though he did hold a 280 and 278 in 20. Oh, no, I'm looking at Fried. Never mind. Gilbert will not hold that, but still, you got to like the strikeouts. You got, and most importantly, this is why I drafted Logan Gilbert in the third round of our meatball draft. Again, can't predict pitcher injuries, but 185 innings, 190, then 208 the last 3 seasons for Logan Gilbert. That is awesome. The BABIP was 236 for Logan Gilbert, which is just insanely low for anybody. A league average is 290, 300. So yeah, the whip is headed north, but like, I don't know, maybe he gets more wins next year and offsets that and gets 200 innings again. He's awesome.
Yep, he's a beast. There's only 4 pitchers with over 200 innings pitched. Logan Gilbert at 208.2 led the way. Seth Lugo at 206.2. Logan Webb at 204.2. And Zach Wheeler at 200. So 3 of the top 4 innings pitched pitchers were in the top 17 taken off the board. So you got that going for you. All righty. 18th pitcher off the board. ADP of 55. Bobby Miller. Rare steak red. Finished 207 at the position, with a 6.52 ERA, 1.77 whip, and 52 strikeouts over 56 innings pitched. I don't have much to say besides broken.
Yeah, he's broken. I mean, I infamously and talked about it on our kind of fab episodes the last few months of the season, or a few weeks of the season. I picked up Bobby Miller. I think he had like a 2-step against the Marlins and the Rockies. Like, yeah. It just looks so big. I could not throw a strike against the Marlins and didn't even make his Rocky start. That was kind of an audition for the postseason. Then LA was like, nah. So something's not right with Bobby Miller.
Bullpen game works.
Yeah, bullpen game. Let's, yes. God, it was bad. So it was awful. It was 2 months of a shoulder injury, but yeah, just came back and looked lost. Looked just body language wise on the mound. Looked like he did not want to be there. Woe is me type of attitude. When once something went bad, he just unraveled. And so there's a lot of stuff to fix there with Bobby Miller, but it wasn't great. And you could argue this point was made earlier on in the chat. I don't think he cost you more than Spencer Strider, right? Because you picked someone, Strider was the number 2 overall pick, but you probably did have Bobby Miller rostered for a bunch of these terrible ratios, and that just makes it worse.
Yep, makes it much, much worse. 19th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 55, right next to Bobby Miller, is Grayson Rodriguez. He finished 55th at the position, 3.86 ERA, 1.24 whip, 130 Ks, and 116 innings pitched. Things were looking oh so nice, and the injury got him and ended his season, so that was a big-time bummer.
Yep, and that's the highlight of the low light of the season, right? It was shoulder early on, missed a few weeks with a shoulder, and then like a lat discomfort. Kind of was the death knell. But when Grayson Rodriguez was on the mound, like he was 13-4, 13 wins and 20 starts. Yeah. That's pretty damn good. And that's Baltimore for you. So it's just going to be a question of health. Like, yes, he doesn't rate well on here, but that's, you know, he only threw 116 innings. Grayson Rodriguez did. So I think a full season of Grayson, this obviously looks a lot better. So, I don't know. Like the market was very high on Grayson because the second half of 2023 was like so damn good. Wasn't that good in 24, but yeah, the injuries were just so much worse.
So much worse. Very, very not good, folks. So hopefully we see a bounce back from Grayson, but I don't know when that will be. Zach Eflin, 20th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 65, finished 56th in the position, 3.59 ERA, 1.15 whip, 134 strikeouts, 165 and a third innings pitched. Eflin was awesome. Went over to Baltimore, continued to deal for the O's after the trade deadline. A couple little minor injury concerns, but overall pitched another solid season for the second straight year. Awesome SP3/SP2 if you can get them.
Yep. and just pounds the zone. The ball rates for Zach Eflin are elite, like 31-32% every season. The walk rate is like just as good. So like not quite George Kirby level control, but pretty damn close. And again, that pretty much all but locks in a very good whip. And Eflin, the volume has been there in each of the last two seasons. So agree with that assessment of yours, like SP solid SP2. You don't want to enter the thing as an SP1. I think you just need more strikeouts, but he's solid and a free agent, I believe.
I just had his page up. I thought they had a club option they accepted, but give me a second here. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, they accepted maybe he's a free agent. Yeah, maybe he's a free agent. He's a free agent in 26. They accepted his option.
Yeah, 18 million next year.
Yep. Okay. So we're good there. All right, now the fun really begins. The 20th pitcher off the board, ADP of 65, finished 56th of the position. 66 ADP, finished 45th of the position. That is one Blake Snell, 3.12 ERA, 1.05 whip, 145 strikeouts. And let's say it, folks, second half Snell, he smelled that Snell. 104 innings pitched on the season. He had the adductor injuries a few times, needed more, he's assigned late. He mentioned he wanted to spend more time getting ready. He said the Giants wouldn't let him. That was not what I wanted to hear. Finally, he made two extra starts on his final rehab the second time through, and he was the best pitcher in baseball, at least in the National League, outside of maybe Paul Skeens and Chris Sale in the second half of the season. So Snell was awesome.
He was awesome. As I've got Pat's thing up here, is there a better player to not draft but then to trade for than Blake Snell? Like, what do you think of, like, I mean, is this second half Snell thing like a thing? I don't know.
I would still draft him.
Well, yeah, but
he's going to be either a Padre, a Giant, or a Mariner next year. That's the way I see it happening. He wants to stay on the West Coast.
He's not going to be a Mariner. I can tell you that much.
He wants to be in Seattle badly, but they won't pay for him. So yeah.
Yeah, they need. They're talking about trading a pitcher for a hitter. So yeah, I don't know. No, I'm always dumbfounded with Blake Snell, how he can sometimes walk six, go 3 1/3 and 93 pitches, and then the next time out, or then, you know, for the next few months, do what he did over the last two second halves. So he's basically unhittable. Like his slider is arguably the best pitch in baseball, and he knows how to use it. He knows he does not give in at all. That's why the walk rate is so high. Hitter's gonna swing at it anyway. So he knows it.
Yeah, no, it's something we've talked about in the past with Snell, because people look at the walks rates and stuff, but that's who he is. Like you just said, that's how he pitches. He's like, you are eventually going to give in, and I'm going to just dominate you to know it. And like, even during his good second half run, I remember watching a couple starts where, like, the first inning he's walking guys because he wasn't getting the strike calls, and then he figured out how to snap it off just a little bit closer to the plate, and it didn't matter at that point. All righty, we go to the 22nd pitcher off the board, ADP of 67, Joe Ryan. Finished 37th at the position, 3.6 ERA, 0.99 whip, 147 Ks, and 135 innings pitched. He was great, had the shoulder issue towards the end of the season, but Joe Ryan was very, very solid. Just another injury slowed down, and probably a really good season.
Yep. I mean, this is like the strikeout to walk king, right? Yep. Another great strikeout rate, another great walk rate. And this is one where like the narrative of Joe Ryan entering the season was the home run ball. And yes, that's a thing, but the homer to fly ball dropped from 15% down to 12%, which is like league average. And again, a lot of time, that's what you expect a pitcher's home run to fly to do, is to drop down closer to league average. So bummer for Joe Ryan to only throw 135 innings, because yeah, 0.99 whip. Again, we don't talk about it as much as we should. Is damn good. You get the strikeouts. Like, he's just one of those guys I think is underrated. A lot of Twins, because you just look at ERA and you're like, it's okay. But everything else is really, really good. So we'll see for next year with the injury and all that stuff. I'm a little bit nervous, but Joe Ryan's a hell of a pitcher.
Yep, he's awesome. Yeah, the injury is my biggest concern. But when he's healthy, beast mode, engaged. The 23rd pitcher off the board, ADP of 71, Cole Reagans, finished 15th at the position, 3.14 ERA, 1.14 WHIP, 223 strikeouts at an ADP of 71. We talked about Seth Lugo, one of the four pitchers over 200 innings. We talked about the jump in innings for Tarik Skubal this past season. Well, we saw Reagans throw 186 innings this past year after throwing 96 the year before. Only 12 starts the year before. Most of those were relief pitch, at least half of those by relief pitching innings in 2023. We saw 32 starts from Cole Reagans in 2024. Absolute ace type stuff. I think he probably over exceeded many expectations due to the workload. Just awesome year from Cole Reagans.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, I probably should have had Cole Reagans on my panel, the pitching panel that I ran, because one of the topics for that was like this storyline of 2024, which was these converted relievers being starting pitchers, right? Ronaldo Lopez, Garrett Crochet, Nick Martinez. Who the hell else did I have? One other guy. It wasn't Reagans, but Reagans is certainly one of those guys, like, just held up so damn well over a full season. It's probably something I need to reevaluate if there are any other kind of relievers going over to starters. Like, granted, Jordan Hicks, like your guy, didn't quite work out as well with him. But no, awesome year for Reagans. The K's were there. I remember calling him like five walk Reagans at the end of last year, trying to bust your balls. But the walk rate was good enough. 9% average is like 8. If Cole Reagans can have a close to league average walk rate, everything else is so good that you can live with that.
Most definitely. Jesus Luzardo, 24th pitcher off the board, ADP of 76, finished 145 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, only 58 Ks in his 66 innings pitched. Injury-riddled season for Luzardo after – see, this is where the concern is. We talked about it, the workload increase. Where's it going to come from? Well, it bit Luzardo in the arm. Now, that's why we talk about these other pitchers. It does happen, folks. Luzardo got it pretty good on this past season, ruining what – like, he started out looking good, and then you could tell he was injured towards the end. He made a couple starts where velocity was changing and whatnot, and then he was just done. So,
and that's something that we probably should – not like you and me, but just, I don't know, someone smarter than you and me should kind of do an updated – like, it used to be called the Verducci effect, right, where, like, you've got this major jump in workload, and then the following year – it's not as good. That was mostly debunked, but that was also 10 to 15 years ago. Like,
yes, things Jesus, have changed pitching wise.
Things have changed quite a bit. And Jesus Luzardo kind of, so I just rattled off like Cole Reagan's jumping innings, but Luzardo went from 100 to 179 last season. And then, 66 this year. So could just be a one-off, could just be Luzardo, but that's probably something I want to look at these last few seasons. What has that, following year innings total look like coming off a big spike? I know you've talked about that a bunch, Bubba.
Yeah, no, it's just always a concern of mine. Like, it'll be a repetitive thing for the rest of the reviews. When we do our positional previews, you and I both are just cautious drafters. Like, we like what we like, and we'll take our risks once in a while, but stuff like that just stands out to me, at least if I have to, like, it's a tiebreaker or something, that usually goes against them in those scenarios.
Yep.
25th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 79, finished 10th at the position, Dylan Cease, and strikeout. He was absolutely outstanding this past season. 3.47 ERA, 107 WHIP, 224 strikeouts. I'm not going to get to it yet because we have one more guy at 220 plus in this back end of the top 30, but we always talk about strikeouts, or at least I do. You did have some guys later if you nailed them at the right time, and Cease was one of them. He picked 189 innings pitched, so another great workload season, and the walks dropped just enough. You kind of mentioned it with Reagans. If he can just kind of keep it there, the strikeouts are so good, it's awesome. And like previous years, he starts getting above 10, you start questioning things. Dropped it just enough this year where Cease was awesome.
Yep, absolutely. And the big thing for Cease was, I always worry about the walk rate and the WHIP. I mean, the WHIP was 142 last season. Like, that is terrible. And there was some unlucky BABIP behind that, and that totally flipped to, I mean, the pendulum swung the other way, where, like, I don't think Dylan Cease touches another 107 WHIP, but hey, the numbers were the numbers, and yeah, you got a little lucky with batted ball luck, and that's what you need to have kind of a killer season like this. So, great year for Dylan Cease. Obviously, the strikeouts were there, and that is a little bit of a trend with this board. A lot of 220 strike guys kind of on the right side of this sheet, where if you started with a George Kirby or a Framber or a Logan Webb, and you paired that SP1 with maybe this Gilbert Reagan Cease, we'll talk about Sale up next, like that worked quite well for you in 2024.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned him, the 26th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 80, which a lot of people were worried about because of the workload that Sale had recently before coming to the Braves. Worry no more, as he finished third on the list, 2.38 ERA, 101 whip, 225 strikeouts. More impressively, Chris Sale threw 177 innings pitched, the most he's pitched since 2017. Did miss the final couple weeks of the year with his, I believe it was back injury. Didn't pitch in the postseason. But man, pure dominance from Chris Sale this year.
And this is where, like, I tend to throw up my hands and be like, why are we trying to predict pitcher injuries? Chris Sale, like, I mean, had 150 innings thrown the pitch the last, from 21 to 23 combined. He's coming off a pretty bad shoulder injury. It's his age 35 season. Like, there's nothing in this profile that said he's going to go out and throw 177 innings, and that's exactly what he did. I don't want to overreact to one player, but it's like I focus so much on stability and whatnot with pitchers, and like Chris Sale does it. I don't know how he did that, but it was anyone who did it, like anyone who took him to get the 26th pitcher off the board, finished third. Chris Sale was on a lot of winning teams this season.
Yep, most definitely. 27th starting pitcher off the board with an ADP of 90, finished 51st is Justin Steele. 3.07 ERA, 1.1 whip, 135 Ks in 134 innings pitched. Honestly, was pitching great. Injuries got the worst of him yet again, which is kind of becoming a trend with Justin Steele 2 out of 3 years. But man, when he's on the bump, even the injury seasons, he's been awesome. Just hasn't been able to do it for a whole year outside of 2023.
Yeah, and I had a bunch of Justin Steele, and it was a hamstring, I think, in his first start of the season.
Yep, it took him out for a while.
Took him out for a while, so I don't know. I feel like that's...
I'm still in. ADP's 130.
Does the elbow concern you? Because he did miss half of September with elbow tendonitis. Did come back. And pitch.
Yeah. The fact he came back and pitched means a lot to me. So we'll see. It's always a concern, but he came back.
Didn't pitch well. Didn't pitch often. Threw two and two-thirds and then four innings, But yeah, was healthy enough to at least go out there and throw. Justin Steele is freaking awesome, man.
Yes. Yes.
Ratios were awesome. The only reason why he's down this far is obviously the injuries, but the Cubs did him no favors with run support. Five wins in 24 starts of a 3.07 ERA. Like, that is really hard to do.
It's extremely hard to do. So, yes. It was a good season from Steele. I'm still in. I'd probably do a little more research on the elbow before I say I'm all in, but I'm very interested in Justin Steele at this moment. Yeah. The 28th pitcher off the board, ADP of 94, finished 81st at the position. That's Joe Musgrove. 3.88 ERA, 1.17 whip, 101 Ks. Pitched really well when he came off the IL, and then he landed back on the IL and had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, this was another bizarre one where, like, Musgrove looked terrible in the spring, started off bad. Missed time, but then the second half was like one of the best pitchers in baseball for a pretty good stretch, and then got hurt again. So I'm not going to spend too much time on him, right, because he's out for all next season. But just a weird season. Like, I did not see that second half surge coming because it looked very bad coming off of other injuries in the first half of the year. But like I always say, it's baseball.
Baseball happens. Hashtag baseball. All right, 29th pitcher off the board, ADP of 95. Bailey Ober finished 22nd at the position. We were on him. He was awesome. Dude had a 3.98 ERA, but a 1.00 whip. 191 strikeouts and 178 2/3 innings pitch. Strikeout machine. Whip was awesome. Some bad luck for the ERA. Dude's a beast. Loved Bailey Ober. And he had that one bad start, which I know you're going to highlight, so I'll let you run with that.
He had two. So his first start of the year was 8 earned runs at Kansas City, and then 9 earned runs against Atlanta August 26th. So 17 earned runs in two starts. Like, that'll do it. Yet he's still at a 398 ERA. Like, that's not awful. But another one of those, like, minutes, just like Joe Ryan, it's like everything else looks good. The K's are there. The whip's always going to be really good. Bailey Ober is a fly ball pitcher, so there's always some home run risk. But really good season. He's just one of those guys who kind of outperforms his stuff, too, because he is 6'9 and just gets, like, so much extension. It's very hard to pick up what Bailey Ober's doing. He's really damn good, and I don't know his ADP, but I'm very, very interested in him next year.
Well, let me tell you, my friend.
Not quite Pablo, but honestly close.
Oh, Bailey Ober's ADP is 86.
And Pablo's like 60-something, I think. So.
Pablo Lopez, that's Ronaldo. Pablo's 62nd.
So not really that much of a discount between those two, but anyway, I think Bailey Ober's really good, and he's, again, one of those guys who's going to have, like, a mediocre ERA, and I think that scares some folks away, but probably shouldn't.
All right. Loved me some Bailey Ober this past year. Really loved me some Tanner Bibee. I planted that flag early last offseason. Didn't disappoint that much. 30th starting pitcher off the board, ADP of 99, finished 25th at the position, 3.47 ERA, 1.12 whip, 187 strikeouts, and 173 innings pitched. Like, I loved everything we saw with Tanner Bibee. 20% K to walk for the first time in his, well, only two major league seasons. But we saw some improvements. You know, people still will have some things negative to say about Tanner Bibee. But I love it, man. 25 years old and got better after his first season. I think there's more to gain from Tanner Bibee still.
Got a lot better with the fastball, which was nice. Threw it for strikes.
A horrible pitch before that.
Yeah, like it's gone from horrible to like average. And then if you can at least get an average fastball with the slider that Bibee has, like that's a good recipe for success. So that's really what drove the gains is really the fastball became, like, you know, somewhat reliable because he threw it for more strikes. He got more whiffs with it, held the velocity. And so that made a big deal for Tanner Bibee. Seems like a very stable starting pitcher, even though he's young. The innings have been there, 173 last year. Like, that is something I think you can bank on as a solid SP2 again.
Yep. I'm a big fan of this one. And this last, like, 10 picks, maybe I'll say even 15 if you really want.
Yeah.
Really love this region. Really like this region compared to that front part. And the front part was mainly damaged due to injuries, let's be fair. But, yeah, a lot to like in this last section of the top 30 here for sure.
Could argue, like, outside of Skubal.
Yep.
But it's like 6 through 10 was just as good as 16 through 20.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense.
16 through 30.
6 through 15.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't. Yeah, that does make sense. 6 through 15 is about the same as
16 through 30.
20 through 30.
I got 20 through 30. That's fair, too.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's all good. But, yeah, pretty good stuff there. Any final thoughts on this board? We've got a couple listener thoughts we're going to get to. But anything else? It's a fun board to see I like seeing that there were strikeouts available, because it feels like whenever people do kind of more macro levels of pitching, you have to go early to get Ks. And it's fair, more often than not, it's the case. These guys don't get hurt. That's probably true. But there were some very nice K guys as, like, SP2s.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot more green on the left strikeout column of this than on the right. But there certainly were some strikeout options after the top 15. And again, so much of strikeouts is just, did you happen to pick a pitcher who stayed healthy all season? So yeah.
All right, got a couple listener questions here. I had one online from our good buddy, BP at futures_bets. It's more of a comment of pretty entertaining here. He says, I think this board must be incomplete. I don't see Spencer Steer anywhere.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. That was pretty
good. He might have pitched. Who knows?
Knowing that goat, he might have. And then in the chat here, Pat Monahan's got a couple questions slash thoughts I want to throw out there. First, he goes, should we pay more attention to KC at their pitching? I mean, they landed Reagans for a half year of Aroldis, signed Lugo kind of cheap. They assigned Waka to a three-year deal for anybody that cares. Like, they're developing. I don't know if it's big or maybe something to dig into, like maybe not write them off, but definitely there's something there, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's something to look at. I mean, I definitely think there is something to, like, believing in an organization, how they can develop pitchers. So, like, we talked about Houston at the live show and how four of their five starting pitchers had the biggest pitch mix changes from first to second half. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence. The Mariners, like every single starter outside of Luis Castillo, learned how to throw a splitter, and that became like a really good pitch. That's, you know, those guys are hanging out with each other all day. I do think there is something to organization, philosophy, and development on the pitching side that you can kind of use to your advantage. So is that the case with Kansas City? Like, they, yeah, to Pat's point, they definitely hit on Reagans for nothing, and they somehow got this breakout out of Seth Lugo. So, yeah, if I'm in a tiebreaker or I'm looking at a Kansas City pitcher this draft season, I'll take that into account.
I will say, Wonka maybe not as much, but they let Lugo and Reagans pretty much go deep, which is a lot of teams don't let pitchers go deep anymore. So it's also pitch count based. I'm not going to say it's a fluky thing, but they gave him those chances more often than not. So that was pretty big as well. All right, and here's another one. Pat Monahan says, McClanahan, at this point, where are you at? I'll be keeping him in the 19th with a one-round decrease each year, but curious if you guys like him in a redraft. Ryan, I'll let you have the floor first because I had plenty of Shane McClanahan thoughts at first pitch Arizona.
Yeah, you can express those here as well. I it's just not a profile I'm going to draft. I mean, it's just not.
But his is a keeper in the 19th. Would you keep him?
Right. One, so, round, like, yeah, if I'm answering Pat's question, like, yeah, 19th round, I would take. Yeah, that's easy, especially because you never, I mean, I just talked about Chris Sale and how, like, he did nothing for years, and Chris Sale's older than McClanahan, and it could certainly happen. But I just get the feeling where McClanahan's going to go. You got Nick Pollock chatting him up.
Oh man,
chatting him up, which is going to drive that ADP higher. I just don't believe. I believe in McClanahan, the pitcher. I don't know what the innings are.
Innings is a major concern coming off a second Tommy John surgery. Yeah. The Rays find ways to get their pitchers hurt more often than not. You just talk about Kansas City doing good stuff. Rays, we know what they do. Their guys go on the IL with Tommy John surgery. That's just a thing now. You know, if I'm going to like McClanahan, I might have to, I'll pay the price. So it's more like next year, like a year removed from Tommy John is the way I would see it. Cause I don't know how you let him just go. Like, he's gotta be four innings and dive at least for the first half of the year type thing. So that's the biggest conundrum from where he's going in drafts. But in the 19th round, you can keep him for a year or a year less each time. Yeah. You keep Shane McClanahan. That's fair.
Yep.
All right, Ryan, I think that'll wrap us up for another episode. Before we head out, anything else that you'd like to mention? We talk boards, we talk Patreon, we talk FPAS. Anything else on your mind as we wrap up November 5th across the nation?
Yeah, hopefully a good distraction for you all whenever you consume this pod, either Tuesday night or on Wednesday or even later on. We'll do starting pitchers 30 through 60 next time. And again, just final thing, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. If you're interested, and we'd really appreciate the support for the show. If you're listening at this point in the duration of the show, I think you'd benefit from it a lot and help us out. So that's all I got, man.
Yep, you nailed it. That's all I'm going to say. You nailed it. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you guys Thursday evening live on YouTube as usual with 31 through 60 SP part 2. It was kind of fun to run through these. Looking forward to seeing the next grouping here because fun group of names. Uncle Ted nailed most of them. So we'll get to that shortly. But until next time, you can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BDintric. This was Bubba and the Bloom episode 184. Catch y'all later.